Hi, and welcome to Rescuing Churches. If you love pastoral life, ministry, and church revitalization, this is a great place to join the discussion about why the local church matters, how we can help the ones that are in decline, and be an encouragement to their pastors along the way. We'll even get to hear stories from special guests about what God is doing in the church at large. This show is hosted by two guys who serve the local church and is for everyone within the local church. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's go.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of this little thing that we do here called Rescuing Churches, where it is always a great adventure discussing church vitalization and pastoral life. My name is Josh. That's my dad, Stan, sitting right over there.
Whole new set of adventures coming up.
And silent partner Mike is here, man in the knobs at Mission Control. Dad.
Happy New Year.
You want to talk this week into your microphone, so hopefully everybody can actually hear you a little bit better on this episode.
Everyone in the room saw me move the microphone to the better position.
That's right. About reminders for the new year, and our first reminder will obviously be to speak into the microphone. But for all of the pastors who are actually listening to this episode, we're going to kind of talk about maybe some like pastoral resolutions or something like that. It's the new year, and everybody, I mean, New Year's resolutions are always a thing in January, even going into February. So what are some ways that the new year has kind of brought challenges for pastors? First of all, let's get that out of the way, because coming out of the COVID situation, the pandemic, and everything that's been stemming from that, there's obviously been a lot of stuff that pastors and really just churches in general have had to go through. So let's talk about some of those things first, the challenges that you're meditating on.
Well, you're still coming. You're still at a time when our nation's tribalized and divided a lot. And some of it's over some of the way the government has mandated what, you know, should and should happen in meetings, and the church fits into that meeting. I know of two churches in our community that I'm pretty close to that still won't meet indoors after a very long time. Through, of course, we don't have severe winter here, but that's getting to be a pretty big challenge for them with, you know, the cold weather supposedly coming to Mobile at some point. So, but
one day,
yeah, but you have all kinds of backwash to all of that and ramifications of all that. But I think it is time for pastors to move on. I agree with Carl, who is on our podcast a couple other times, and we listened to his. Actually, we were just listening to his driving on our long, long trip back the other day. Can this work in a small church?
And we can drop the links to that in the show notes for you.
Carl Vaters. And when you listen to him, he's crystal clear. Hey, if they haven't come back, if people in your church that you thought were core, vital, helper, supportive members, if they're still sitting out, they're probably not coming back.
That's exactly
you
right.
Do not need to be wrestling over all that. Just keep moving and move on and move past and work around kind of deal. So, so I think a lot of our pastors now have realized we need to get up and going. And I want to say, without trying to sound any kind of political at all, I would not let the culture of fear about whatever these new variants and all that are, don't let the culture of fear control how you operate your ministry.
That's exactly right.
Church, the gates of hell can't prevail against the church. So please don't let a flu bug prevail against the church.
If we're gonna take the literal word of God seriously, then that's a great verse to quote.
Just
that.
Get after it. You know, I say go ahead and push through. If you're sick as a pastor, take a week or two off, get some coverage, but don't cancel your service, just, whatever you do.
Just like you would for anything else.
And get moving.
That's right.
Get going.
Okay, so let's dive into these New Year's resolutions, pastoral resolutions, we might call them.
These are just ways that I like to think coming into the new year. Technically, have been better to do this. Candid admission, we probably should have done this episode in November, but we didn't.
But you didn't. So no, that's right. You're the boss. I'm going to blame you.
Right under the bus.
I just work here. So I am the communications director.
But coming into the new year, you always should get your planning set up and going, and you should have yourself in a position to see the year as a whole. And that's really what I want to just remind guys of as they're ministering to their congregation, as we talk through these four decisions that, you know, you should make as the year begins, is to see the year as a whole. See the whole year ahead of you and get a big picture of it so you kind of know what you're facing.
Right. And I think that's good because there's some pastors out there who probably don't do that. And, you know,
real easy to get tunnel vision if you're not careful.
Yeah,
just get stuck on next Sunday's fixing to happen, so I'm focused on next Sunday.
Yeah.
And next Sunday's fixing to happen, so I'm focused on Sunday.
I'm trying to survive.
Oh, yeah. I got to do Wednesday because we decided to start our Wednesday service, and next Sunday's getting ready to start, so I got to get focused on Sunday.
Just week to week
and
survival.
You never back up and take a big picture. So.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go through these four. Number one in your list here is to plan your church's spiritual direction and development. Tell me a little bit about what that actually looks like in specifics.
Well, God's called our pastors, youth pastors, men's leaders, women's ministry leaders. He's called all the people who are leading any part of the church to be exactly that, leaders. And leaders have followers, so you should have a group of people following you. You really want to take serious the direction of teaching and training and discipleship that you're moving in, and you should think through that. I spend a lot of October, November, December. I spend hours literally just trying to pray, fast, meditate, and seek the Lord for direction, specific curriculum direction, specific passages, specific topics or themes. And I try to do that asking the Lord, not myself, but asking the Lord, what are the needs of our people? I'm thinking through the spiritual conversations I've had about people's ups and downs and goods and bads, and what are people struggling with and what are they successful with? But as I do all that, I begin to start thinking through, Lord, you need to tell me how to help make this move forward. How do we take ourselves from here to the next level spiritually that we need to be, still honoring the principles of discipleship, still honoring principles of evangelism, outreach, loving the neighbors, loving the lost? How do we do all that? And what's the best plan or passages to do that? Sometimes it's a passage that I've gotten into and it really has rung my bell. And I realize, hey, the passion I have in this passage needs to be transferred to our people. But sometimes it's something somebody else brings to me or suggests I look at, and then I go look at it and do it. And I think pulpit planning is vital. I think you should have a overview of your whole year. I literally, and you know this because I'll send you the sheet. Actually, I meant to send it to you this morning. But I create an Excel sheet. Any of you that want to see what I do, not that I'm a C student, so don't be shocked at how simple it might look. But any of you want to see how
it may not be the model.
Plan a year, I'd be happy to drop you a year planning an Excel sheet. It's just an Excel sheet I've designed to do that. And I actually take our staff members, our associate pastors that have Wednesday nights and Sunday night responsibilities, and say, hey, plan your year out and show me what it's going to be. One, that keeps us from all cross-teaching. I'm not going to teach through the book of, let's say, just throw a book out there. I'm not going to teach through the book of Jonah while they're teaching through the book of Jonah.
That's right.
Or if they're teaching through it this year, I'm not going to teach through it at all. So, but I do recommend in your pulpit planning for the year to try to think about the whole year. Now, something may come up. You know, I think of the Twin Towers when they were hit by terrorists.
Right.
Whatever you're teaching on, that stops and you start teaching on, you know, peace and, you know, how to get through this.
Right, exactly.
You know, I think of when we've had big storms come through here, and you know, Katrina and other storms that have come through our community, Ivan and all those.
Or you may even have a storm come through your church itself.
Yeah, personal
thing may happen in your church that
that's going
to
derail for a little bit. But you at least had a plan.
Yeah.
And now, once we get through that, we get back to the plan, and it feels like we're going back to where we needed to go.
Exactly.
So it just helps to have that. And I recommend, I think every a good pastor should try to teach through a book every year in his year in the pulpit, teach through the highlights of a book or at least the fundamentals of a Old Testament or New Testament book. We're going to take on Nehemiah this year as a church.
I think that's going to be a really good series.
I'm pretty excited about it. I've been studying it for a little over a year, and it just all started coming together back in November, and it became clear to me that that would be a good book for us to use. So, but the church family should have ownership of some book. I think if you're wanting them to grow, they should have ownership of that. And you just put all that on a calendar. If you just draw it on a piece of paper, that's fine. But if you want me to send you my format, I can send you a blank format or filled in one and you can blank it out. But you can just kind of see you get a year in one page. You can see the whole year.
Yep.
And figure out what's happening and what are we doing. So just plan your church's spiritual direction and your own development, but only do that after you've prayed and fasted and spent a lot of time with the Lord. Don't plan it out of your emotions or your head. You know, don't plan it in frustration or fear. Plan it with the Lord's helping you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right, so let's go into number two, which is to plan for discipleship throughout the whole year. So this is another one of those planning for the whole year things, but specifically here with discipleship. What are some practical ways that pastors can do this? Because, you know, you're going to have some pastors who, you know, we actually have some pastors in our 614 network that are bivocational,
sure,
might be trivocational. And discipleship for them, you know, some of that one-on-one discipleship is one of those things where they really have to fit that into their schedule. So speak to that a little bit.
Still highest priority.
Yeah, exactly.
If the pastor's not discipling anybody, why would I?
Yeah, sure.
It's what I'm saying as a church member.
Yep.
I have to work too, by the way.
The pastor's got to lead by example.
So. Most people who work 60 and 70 hours a week.
Yep.
Our sound guy's nodding.
Yeah,
he's 60 and 70 hours.
Definitely nodding his head over there.
So just because you have a long hour job doesn't mean you're not supposed to be discipling. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, go and make disciples unless you have a real job.
Yeah. So, or go and make disciples if it's convenient.
That's right. So, so we got to fit that in, put it in. But I say in your year, in the beginning of the year, think out who else you need to add into your discipleship mix. Who needs your help as leader, if you want to leadership disciple them or biblically disciple them, the topics, the values, the principles, the truths that you know you have and can pour into their lives. Just think through that. You know, if your church is pretty healthy, people may be coming to you saying, hey, would you help me this year with this? Or would you disciple me? I need a mentor. But it wouldn't hurt from your pulpit every once in a while to say, you know, if you're looking for mentorship and leadership, you know, if you're a guy, come talk to me. If you're a gal, talk to Miss So-and-so or whatever, because mm-hmm. we're always interested in making sure everybody here gets a personal mentor and discipler.
Exactly.
Somebody to teach them. And then you also need to think through who's going to be discipling you. In other words, who are you going to turn to? What mentors are you going to reach out to this year for advice and counsel and encouragement? You know, a couple of people that I've reached out to over the past are not available anymore. They've gone on to be with the Lord, and it's just not possible to reach them anymore. So I've got to continue to look for people that are advisors and counselors and mentors to me and who will disciple me. So as a pastor, I need to be being discipled, and I need to also have somebody that I'm discipling, at least one. So,
right.
So plan that for your year though. Go ahead and make a plan. If you write it down as a plan in some journal or notebook or your Evernote or whatever you do, you know, I'm an Evernote guy, but if you write it down, at least it's on paper. This is my goal.
Shameless plug for Evernote.
Yeah. Here's my goal. That's right.
Yep. And you know,
if Evernote wants to sponsor us, by the way, we take sponsors.
Yeah, we take sponsors.
We'd be happy
to
stop and have a commercial break.
We'd be happy to allow that to happen. Yep. So,
Love my Evernote.
You have a note here in your Evernote to merge your teaching calendar with your events calendar. I think that's a good idea. I like that tip. So, number three, plan your full year calendar so you have an overview of all key events. So let's take this apart a little bit. Not every pastor obviously does this, but everybody is different when it comes to planning and stuff. So why do you suggest the full year approach?
Well, we sat down, you were in our meeting a few weeks ago where we sat down with a couple of guys that are volunteer assistant pastors and our volunteer secretary and just kind of our volunteer team.
Yep. Volunteer everybody.
Yeah. And we looked at you know, January through December of 2022 and said, okay, you know, what do we know are the events here? Here's where the men's retreat happens in February for us. So this would be a good week to launch a men's ministry incentive and push that. When do we want to push Bible study training, which is part of our discipleship curriculum? When do we want to do that? Well, we're starting that this week at our church. When do we want to do a conference this year? What do we want to send our guys to conferences? We want to get all that on the calendar so we know what's coming. Do we want to do a youth outreach here? Do we want to do a kids outreach? Is there a series of family services we'd like to do? You know, some churches like to call them revivals or Bible conferences or whatever. Get all that in a big picture so you see the whole picture.
Exactly.
And so you're not cramming everything. You know, you don't want to try to do revival during Mother's Day necessarily.
That would be
Probably
wouldn't work out.
Yeah, but you got to think through some of that. So, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look at those dates. Look at the Easter, that thing moves around.
Veterans Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do a Veterans Day thing. A lot of churches don't.
Right.
We do. I have to know on my November preaching calendar,
yep,
that second Sunday is usually not me. I'm trying to find a veteran that's a good preacher,
right,
who served in the military who can fill our pulpit. And so I'm off that Sunday from preaching, but I need to know if I'm teaching a series of something, there's a break right here.
That
helps me plan the series. Again, this is why you're trying to see the whole picture at one time. And that's when I put the note you said, let's merge your teaching calendar with the event calendar so you don't have that problem.
That's exactly right.
One year I taught through some pretty strong teachings on the passion of Christ and death, burial, resurrection, and all that. And it coincided with, or it overlapped Mother's Day. Well, Mother's Day doesn't necessarily need to be that. It could be.
Sure.
But, you know, you may want to pause your series long enough to say today's a special day, so we're going to focus on teaching about, you know, the beauty of women ministering into family lives and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of what I hear you saying here is just to be flexible and adaptable. I mean,
and thinking it ahead of time.
Right,
so
sure.
Which that kind of keeps you from being surprised at the last minute.
So know that your calendar, even that you plan, could be subject to change when you plan it out, which, you know, if you're an OCD guy like me, it drives you crazy when that happens, but it's going to happen. You know, you're going to plan something a month or 2 months out, and then God's going to go, nope, I had a whole different deal. So,
You
know, on our trip back from Florida, that was, you know, kind of a thing. We were on the road and should have been home by 5:30, and God said, nope, here's a wreck, and here's an even bigger wreck, and you're not going to get home until 8:30.
That's right.
That's how that's going to work. All right, and then last on your list here is to plan your breaks, which I think for a lot of ministers is one of those things where it's like, do I get a break?
I wish I could actually plan.
I wish I had a vacation.
But let's talk about wishing that, because in goal setting and planning, go ahead and plan one. Look at your calendar and go, hey, after I teach this series.
Figure out where it should be.
Yeah, after I teach this series, let's say you have a younger family. Spring break, when your kids are going to be out of school,
right,
might be a good week for you to say, this needs to be a break for me too.
Oh, absolutely.
So now I'm going to reach out to my nearest association. I'm going to find the church down the street, the a little bit larger church, and ask, do they have an associate or an assistant or a youth pastor that's really good in the pulpit? Could he fill for me? I'm going to call Pastor Stan if I'm nearby, or within driving range of Mobile, and say, do you have somebody you can send that could preach? Because we got 4 or 5 guys that love preaching.
Oh, yeah, we can do that for you.
Some of them love traveling. So,
oh, yeah.
But I'm always going to try to plan my break so that I actually have some rest time and some downtime, and use that break time to focus on your family if needed, focus on your ministry if needed. You know, this past week, you and I were down in Florida visiting with your girlfriend. So,
and
in doing that, it gave me a week or 4 days, whatever it was, I had some Zoom calls and Zoom meetings with pastors, and some long phone calls that were planning and discipleship. I did a counseling session with a couple, but at the same time, I had some time, literally, just sitting at the Airbnb, had some time to keep working on the focus of the Nehemiah series and the focus of, you know, our vision Sunday coming up.
And that level of refreshment, I think, is so important for pastors, because, I mean, I just, I can, from an interesting perspective and vantage point as a pastor's son speak into this world a little bit differently than, say, maybe, you know, somebody who's in the congregation or who's just coming week to week. You know, I mean, they can speak into it from a different vantage point and say, yes, a pastor needs a break. But as when you're the son or of a pastor, or you're a pastor's wife, you know, or even just a member of a pastoral family in some way, you've married into a pastoral family and you know, and you're experiencing it and seeing it on a weekly basis, a regular basis, you know, the ministry is one of those things that, you know, it can be, you know, exhausting at some level.
That's right.
And so planning those breaks and everything, and that need for a time of refreshment, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually, is important too. So,
yeah. And I can tell you, as a young pastor with a high drive, I'm a overdriven personality, have the go, 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 do, get it all done.
Yep.
Once it's all done, make a list of all the other things I need to get done and then get those done.
Exactly.
Then get those done and think about going to sleep, but stay awake, making lists. So I'm that guy. I'm a doer. But I can tell you, as a young pastor, you need to create some breaks for yourself.
Yeah, it's healthy. It really is.
Really very, is important.
Very, very healthy. So great tips. Yep. All right.
First of the year.
First of the year. Good tips. All right. Like it. Love it. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for listening to this episode of Rescuing Churches. We hope you found all of this content and dialogue helpful and inspiring as always. If you didn't, I don't know, see that guy right over there because he's the one that put it together.
That's right.
I'm Josh, that's Stan, Silent Partner Mike, and we'll catch you all next time.
You've been listening to Rescuing Churches, a discussion for the local church and its leaders. This show is brought to you by 614 Ministries. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at 614 Rebuild and visit us online at 614ministries.org. Also, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Thanks for listening.